This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With NoviBet. Big match value on the Premier League and Champions League every week. NoviBet. Built for the big games. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back to Thursday night's Off the Ball. Now, it's been a very disappointing evening for Shamrock Rovers. They were beaten 1-0 by Coops in Finland this evening, which means the Finnish side qualify for the Conference League proper. This is a level that Shamrock Rovers had been used to playing in, but they won't be playing in it this season. Owen Heary, I'm very happy to say, is with us in studio. Owen, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you very much.
What did you make of that performance, first of all, this evening, before we get into the bigger picture stuff? Talk to us about the game tonight.
Well, looking at the game, I think it was very defensive performance. I think both teams were very defensive. Obviously, Coops got beaten the weekend 4-2, so you can see why they were probably a little bit tentative. Rovers have known that since they've been going away from home in Europe, they conceded a lot of goals. So I think Stephen Bradley would be happy with, you know, the performance of how they played defensively. And I think that showed in his team with the two changes in it. Won't be happy, obviously, off the set piece and then not creating enough in the game to get through.
The goal is a bit of a calamity at the back.
Yeah, definitely. As I say, it was a deep free kick into the back post. And I think it's Axel Puka, I think it was, that heads it back across. And obviously, Bourke knocks it into his own net. But I feel sorry for Bourke, because he looked like he was going to clear it with his foot, and Green gets a little touch on it that makes it deflect a little bit higher and then hits his head and goes in. And, you know, Bourke has been brilliant for Rovers over the last couple of years. He's probably, you could say, probably their best player in my eyes, being the best player for the last couple of years in the league. So it's unfortunate for him, because he only come off the bench as well. And I think Stephen was obviously looking to bring himself, Jack Bourne, on to change the game, give them a little bit more impetus going forward. Unfortunately, backfired, and he's the one that ends up scoring the OG.
Yeah, a pretty brutal outcome. Let's hear from Stephen Bradley. He was speaking to Shamrock Rovers media in the immediate aftermath of the defeat.
It's very unlike us in general, whether it's in Europe or domestically. It's very unlike us. But this year we've given up, from the start of the European campaign, we've given up too many soft goals. And when you do that at this level, ultimately it's going to cost you. And you look at the goal tonight, it's an easy one for us to deal with. And we end up conceding off it. Yeah, of course we're disappointed. There's no doubt about it. One of our aims this year was to be playing least day of football in Europe, and we haven't done that. So you're going to be disappointed. But what we've always done as a group is moved on quickly, win, lose, or draw. And you have to. Football doesn't wait. The next challenge is there your way. We know we got a league to go and win.
We'll come to the league in a moment. But why have they given up too many soft goals in Europe this year, Owen?
Well, between bad defending as a team and individual errors, as Stephen has assumed there, that he said, you know, giving up soft goals. And if you think they've conceded 10 goals away from home in Europe, they've scored 11 goals at home. And their home performance has been excellent. It's just when they've gone on their travels, whether that's a mixture of, you know, playing more attacking players rather than defensive players, I often think that, you know, looking at Rovers this year, when they play with five at the back, they get away in the league because they're allowed more attacking players, because the league is probably not up to the Rovers level. But in Europe, when they play those wide players that are total wingers rather than defenders, it comes back to haunt them a little bit. And we've seen that over the last couple of games when they've gone away from home. And you see tonight, you sort of changed a little bit more defensively on one side, letting the other side be more attacking wise down the left with Fitzgerald, and bringing Grace, you know, as a back three, Grace, Lopez and Stevens, hoping that they'll hold it out with Sawali on the right. It was probably a little bit more defensive, but unfortunately, as he said, giving up the soft goals comes back and haunts them. And again, tonight is a really soft goal, considering Rovers are very good on set pieces. And you see the ball just played into the back stick. It's just a hopeful ball. It's not a well-worked free kick. It's just a hopeful ball into the back stick and heads back across. And unfortunately, it's an OG.
Do you think Rovers properly got to grips with the difference in approach that's required in the League of Ireland to Europe this season? It seemed to be something that they had nailed over the past couple of years. But obviously, you're favourites in every single game in Ireland, and you've got a bit more of an underdog mentality. Even if they would have started the Coops game last week, for example, as favourites, so they wouldn't have been underdogs going into that game. But in a general sense, the standard is higher. Have they been able to adapt to those different challenges enough this season?
Yeah, I think when you're the top team in this league in Ireland, everyone wants to beat you. And it's hard to maintain that level year in, year out, week in, week out. And Rovers have to do with that, because when they get beaten, you know, the whole league is sort of, oh yeah, it's great, Rovers are beaten, you know, they're not that unbeatable team anymore, we can all get at them. And it is, for Rovers, it's tough, you know, when you're playing Drogheda this week and then you're going to play in Europe and you're coming back and you're playing Bowles and going to Europe, it does take its toll. You know, you've also got Lopez, who's played in the World Cup, and it's come, you know, he's marking Messi 1 week, and then he's come back and marking, you know, say, Shane Farrell in the League of Ireland. And the highs, you know, and the emotions that come with that for him alone takes a lot out of him mentally and physically. And a lot of the players will be like that, playing in Europe and playing domestically. And I just think that Rovers, look, they're still top of the league. They were very good at home in Europe. It's their away performances that let them down this year in Europe. So it's not the be-all and end-all. They've lost a lot of money on this game tonight. There's no doubt about it. I think they've lost $2 million in total, which does hurt, because we expect Rovers to be playing in Europe all the way to Christmas, because they have done over the last couple of years. You know, they lost out in the Champions League, and we're still waiting for that one team to make that breakthrough, and we all think it will be Rovers. Got beaten in that, got beaten in Europa, and now beaten in the Conference. So it has been a poor performance overall in Europe for them. But again, it comes down to conceding soft goals.
I think we'd come to the point of expecting Rovers to at the very least qualify for the Conference League. Maybe the expectation got to Europa League this season. Is that unfair to automatically expect that of a League of Ireland team, or is the Conference League presenting that?
I don't think so. I think, you know, you look at the finances that Rovers have put into their squad over the last couple of years, and, you know, Stephen Bradley, Glenn Cronin, you know, they built a team, a squad of players that are well capable of matching it with the bigger teams in Europe. And we've seen that over the last number of years. They got beaten 5-1 by Arafat this year. I think the last team that they lost in that scoreline is probably Chelsea, you know, which is a different level altogether. So yeah, I do think they do have a squad to compete. And again, that's shown, especially, and I keep going back to this, where in home games, they've been dominant in the home games. Even against Cups there, they drew 1-1, but they were, you know, quite dominant, should have got one or two goal lead going away. But again, it just comes down to that away performance. And like I said, it's probably more mentally, you know, than anything else, where players, and some players are probably very offensive and not thinking defensively, and that comes back to haunt them.
You talk about maybe the mental exhaustion of some of the players, like even Pico Lopez, and he's probably the best example of it, in fairness, goes away to the World Cup, comes straight back into playing with Shamrock Rovers in a couple of different competitions. I wonder, is there an accumulative effect as well of making it to the Conference League the last few years, in terms of just how long their seasons have been, or is that no excuse at all?
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. As you're saying, that the same players have been playing for the last number of years in Rovers. But you've seen Stephen, he's bringing in younger players and he's freshening her up, and he's trying to maintain that in the league and in the cup. We've seen how he really brought in the younger players, you know, in certain games. But they need time to develop as well. You know, it is a pressure for them. I mean, they're young, they're going in and playing in a high pressure game. And this will be, you know, they'll feel the effects of this. You can imagine that playing Johnny home. You know, every player will feel the effects of this. And now they go and play Derry the weekend. I think they've Derry, Shells and Pats, I think, are the next three. With massive games. Like, and that's the one now that, you know, Stephen has to get them up for them games. And again, when they come back from Europe, they get the fatigue kicks in, and the teams that they're going to play, the likes of Derry will be hunting from last week's result against Bowes, and they'd be guaranteed that they'd be looking to get after Rovers from the off on this weekend.
Would you be worried about what's going to happen now in the league? Is this the sort of thing that can precipitate a loss of form domestically?
Yeah, I think the next three games is crucial for them, you know, but they have put themselves in a commanding position, and Stephen has always, you know, alluded to that, that saying that they want to be in the commanding position, that when they do play in Europe and they come back, that, you know, they're a few points ahead, and we've seen that they're 7 ahead in the game in hand. So they have to expect that Rovers have to lose 3 games, Bowes and Pats have to win 3 just to catch them, and then Bowes and Pats have to beat Rovers. So you're asking Rovers to lose 5 out of their next remaining games. Will it happen? I don't really know, but could it happen? Absolutely. Depends on how Stephen gets them up for this weekend game, you know, because you don't want to lose this game when you come back, because it does set, you know, a motion of, well, they're conceding goals, Rovers, and we can get at Rovers, and then the next game of Shells becomes a bigger game, and then again for Rovers.
When you look at them this year, leaving aside what you're actually getting data-wise on the table, for example, do you think this Rovers team is up to the same level as last year's side was?
I do. I think they definitely have the players to match last year. I think the league is probably what's holding them back, is the fact that the league is not up to the level of Shamrock Rovers.
Okay.
And that's been proven over the last number of years. You know, to win 6 out of 7 trophies, 7 league titles, is no mean feat, you know, and they constantly do it, and they're the benchmark for every team. And, you know, Rovers looking at it now will be wanting to win the league, to get back into the Champions League football, and probably more determined to show people next year how good they are in Europe.
It that kind of leads you straight into the big overarching question about how you actually fix that. And it's down to every single club, really, and it's down to Irish football in general to it ensure is. That the gap is closed to Rovers.
Rovers can't do it for every other club. Other clubs have to do it for themselves. And you can't say to the likes of, you know, other teams in the division to say, oh, you just have to put money in to get players to generate us and make us stronger. Like, no team is going to do that for you. So it's just up to Rovers to be who's in front of them. That's all they can do. And to come the next three games, they're probably the three biggest teams that they could play, you know, in the next three games. And then you have Bowes coming up, which is a massive Dublin derby for them then as well. Obviously a refixed game because of the cup weekend that Bowes are in it. So, yeah, I think those are the teams that are really pushing towards Rovers, looking to catch them. You know, Derry obviously a long way off, but like I said, they'll be reeling from last week's game, and it's a massive game for them now at home this weekend.
Does the loss of the £2 million dent their ambitions in terms of what they can do progress wise over the next year?
Probably not. You know, I'm sure they didn't count on it, that they had that £2 million. You know, I think they've made 1.7 million so far this year from the European adventures. Obviously the £2 million on top of that would have been nice, but I still think they've done enough over the last couple of years to account for that, to say, okay, if we don't qualify for Europe, we have to make sure that we still have the books balanced and that we still have the money to bring in players. And you've seen that they went in and got Fitzgerald for 75,000 from Sligo, and I'm sure come the end of the year, you know, Stephen is still there, he'd look to say, right, this is what we need to strengthen. Obviously there's certain players coming to the end of their career. He's developing young players in, but he will need experienced players to come into that team then as well.
You can get in touch with us on 0879 180 180. Kieran's dropped us a WhatsApp to say, what had the potential to be a really good European campaign for Shamrock Rovers has morphed into an absolute disaster. Beaten by multiple teams who have a lower seeding. They've been great champions, but the age profile of this team is very high and a lot of their players won't get any better because most are on the wrong side of 30. Their better young players will all be gone in the next 12 months also. They're on the ropes, and I do think we'll now get a title race simply because some of their best players in Mandroyu, Ojinvuna, Razi, McGovern, Cleary, etc. are still out injured and don't seem to be back anytime soon. They lacked real dynamism in Europe. A lot of their players are all of a certain profile, very similar type of player they recruit. I'm guessing this result will negatively affect their coefficient as well. Looks as though a rebuild is needed. Do you reckon a rebuild is needed?
Well, I do think he's rebuilding at the moment. Okay. I think with Adam Brennan coming in, and you know, you see the Noonan there, they have young players. Obviously, they will need to bring in a couple of more, but I do think maybe an experienced players, as a younger age profile experienced players, if you take not too young, like, you know, fellas that have been around the league, know how to play in Europe and things like that. But I do, look, if Rovers win the league this year, it's still a successful season for them. You know, yeah, they haven't been great in Europe, but they've still got Champions League, still played in Europa, still played in the conference. You know, you go back 20 years ago, you got knocked out of the Champions League, that was it. You had no more European games. But they were generating money. They made 1.7 million this year. They'll probably see that as success as well. Obviously, Stephen won't, because he'd be thinking his team could have qualified and should have been in Europe all the way up to Christmas in the Conference League. You know, missed out in Europa, missed out in Champions League, but the Conference League was their probably fallback, which didn't materialise for them. But no, I don't think. I think if they win the league this year, it'll still be classed as success for them because, again, that's, you know, so many league titles in the bag, and then they go again next year.
So it sounds like you're relatively positive, because I'd imagine this result is going to be met with lots of crisis discussions around where is the League of Ireland at? Has it gone backwards after the last couple of seasons? There'll be big picture talk around, you know, attendances maybe having gone on the slowdown in the last couple of years, the post-stuff effect, having two teams in Europe last year, none this year, and it all combines to sort of a state of the nation conversation developing again over the next couple of days. So it sounds like you're positive on at least one front, on Rovers at least.
Yeah, isn't it great that we're saying, you know, all the negative effects because of what Rovers have done over the last 5-6 years, how successful they were, that all of a sudden they have a blip and we turn around and say, oh, that's the end of our league, it's not great, you know, you're showing teams are not as good as the Premier League. We'll never be as good as the Premier League teams. You know, they're paying £100 million for a player. You know, 75,000 of our Rovers played this year, and yet they've sold younger players for 2 million and things like that. So, look, there's a lot of positives in the league. You're not always going to do well in Europe. We know that. Other teams, and like people, you know, Armenia teams, they all catch up. We've done that over the last 20 years. We were that whipping boy team for many years, and all of a sudden then we've started to progress through summer football, through the full-time football, through younger players coming in, you know, and more experienced players being there to help them. And we've seen that develop over the last 20 years. In my eyes, that you've seen the European games getting better. You're talking about attendances. You know, we do have grounds that are full every week. We still get, you know, top crowds coming in. They're still turning up for the games. Obviously, Europe, probably wasn't as big attendances that we've had over the last couple of years, but maybe the fact that we're getting used to playing in Europe, you know, week in, week out for certain teams, are the same people are turning up, you know, supporting them. And it's difficult because, let's be honest, in this day and age, money is tight to keep paying for going for matches and travelling away for games. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of positives involved in the league.
This is not a negative question at all, but when it comes to Stephen Bradley's future, I'm sure he's going to continue to have plenty of opportunities should he so wish to leave Ireland or leave the league. What's your gut feeling on how the Stephen Bradley story is going to go come the end of the season?
I think Stephen will probably stay because he probably has something to prove to himself that he's well capable of getting this team into another Europa phase or league phase and Champions League maybe. But he's the most successful manager around. You know, what he does probably doesn't get the credit for what he does and how he's rebuilt this team, you know, year in, year out, and how they've dominated the league, you know. And he's very assuming that, you know, he doesn't come out and cane players like there today. He said, right, we move on, we bounce off this and move on to the next game. And I like that with him. Like, he's very positive as a manager. You know, he doesn't dwell on the
past. What's your gut feeling? Didn't tell you on that one.
After watching Derry last week, it's hard to say because Derry were very good against Bowes first half, but Bowes turned them first 10 minutes in the second half and he got a corner scored, got a free kick scored, another corner scored, and then out of nowhere Derry come back in and get goals after being down to 10 men. So I think Derry going forward are very positive. Defensively though, there's a lot of frailties there. Rovers coming back off Europe, travelling up to Derry, it's a long old, you know, trip again. And then having players that are probably fatigued, but he does have players that he can change it on the bench. You know, he might start with Noonan and he might play Bourke because he only come on for 15 minutes. Bourne might play. So Rovers do have a squad that is well capable of going up there and getting the 3 points.
Definitely. Our game tomorrow evening is the Louth Derby. It's going to be at Sullivan and Lamb Park at Strada against Dundalk. Kickoff on that one is at 8 p.m. And our coverage, as always, here on News Talk begins at 7. You've been listening to Owen Heary breaking down a very disappointing evening for Shamrock Rovers. Owen, thanks a million for popping into the studio.
Thanks very much, Sean.
Cheers, we'll take a quick break.
Football on Off the Ball with Novibet. Big match value on the Premier League and Champions League every week. Novibet, built for the big games. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie. This is News Talk.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.